Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. We're glad you are with us. For those of you who take notes on things like this, we will have a live Brad and Brit cast Wednesday, not on Thursday. Yeah. Wednesday, not on Thursday. Dracula needs his blood.
And you're still feeling okay, which is what everybody wants to know. You're still right, feeling all right.
Friday will decide. Friday.
Yeah, Friday will figure it out.
I feel fine.
Oh, I've developed a fun thing over the past couple of days. I have gout. Just thought I'd tell you that. I have gout.
Whoa.
It's not in what my toe.
What do they do for that?
You got to just take stuff like Tylenol and kind of let it subside. But eventually I'll talk to the doctor about it. I've got an appointment after the new year. And
So you've lived the high life like the French kings.
Correct.
Of the 15th century.
It's my brother has had it for years, and I believe the uric acid settles in his toe. Mine is in my ankle, which is delightful. Just delightful.
So you can't kick anymore, right?
No, I wouldn't.
Your days as a kicker are.
Insert your Jan Stenerud joke here.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the list.
All right.
Fourth and two for the NFL on the Elon issue. Time to punt. This is the house that Jack Smith built, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Trump circles back to NFTs.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
Duckers. Don really loves his staff. Dodgers dodge Otani's giant salary very quiver. Uh-oh.
See what you did there. Although that was that was more of a Elmer Fudd than it was anything Asian to me. That's what I felt like.
Tepper, sell the team.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go with Jack Smith. We do need to get some meat on the plate here early on. Jack Smith is proving once and for all he's not effing around with this situation. He's not playing. He's not pushing his food around the plate. This guy's going after it, and he's going after it hard.
Yeah. I guess March 4th is the day that the trial is supposed to start in Washington against Trump and the charges that he's responsible for January 6th and all kinds of felonious charges against him. And it's not even a debate that his strategy, if you want to call it that, is to just delay it, delay the trial, delay everything, until supposedly he gets reelected and he can wipe all this clean, which of course does bring up the interesting, it's not a paradox, it's not hypocritical, it's just plainly pathetic, because if his argument is, and it is, that presidents are immune from prosecution for anything and everything that they do while they are president, as long as those things that they're doing are in line with what a president is supposed to do. And as you all know, the previous 43, 44 presidents all planned to overthrow the government and no one said anything. So that's kind of selective prosecution against Trump. We know that. But it is quite a interesting little point that if Donald Trump was in fact truly immune from prosecution for anything that happened while he was president, why was he talking about pardoning himself a long time ago? He wouldn't need to pardon himself from anything, right?
Correct.
Couldn't be, right?
If you're not doing anything wrong, you don't need to pardon yourself.
Exactly. And then the second question is, why did Richard Nixon accept a pardon from Gerald Ford if that doctrine, which Trump claims has been in place really for all presidents, and by the way, would also apply right now, this moment, next moment, next 10 moments you can think of, to Joe Biden, who apparently is the head of the Biden-Easy crime family. It's one of the, it's now six crime families of New York. Wouldn't he be immune from everything?
Seems like it.
Yeah. Now, of course, an impeachment is not a criminal trial. We do understand that. But when you have no evidence, and that's going to go nowhere, it's going to be a great big fat embarrassment. So anyway, Trump has redefined the idea of too clever by half. It's too clever by a quarter, too clever by an eighth. He's just not that smart, and he doesn't have a good cadre of lawyers, and the Supreme Court, in fact, will agree after they give Trump's lawyers a chance to bullshit next week. I think their deadline is Wednesday to answer Jack Smith's request that this case immediately be decided by the Supreme Court regarding absolute immunity, which doesn't exist in nature. It just doesn't exist. They really, and think about this, Britt, what this must have been like, pulling something out of Trump's ass to present to the world. Somebody had to do it.
No.
Somebody had to do it.
No.
Yeah. And by the way, in addition, a little bonus, they've got the Trump phone records.
I love that.
From the White House.
I love that.
During the riot. And this is a warning to you. If you're going to use one of these devices to commit crimes, you're really stupid. Right? Don't you think? And you know, remember back at the beginning of Trump's term, he didn't want to give up his personal phone, I think.
That's right.
There were these stamps, kind of watermarks, electronic watermarks, and you could tell whether he was sending out his crazy ass tweets from a White House issued phone or from his personal iPhone. Remember that whole thing?
I do remember this.
What would make you think at any level that at this late hour, looking back on the tumult of Trump's later years in office, and then the period leading up to January 6th and even to January 20th, that Donald Trump had been following the edicts, the rules that were being set down for him? I guess, I don't know whether it was the Secret Service that made sure that he wasn't using just an iPhone off the shelf.
Right.
But what would make you think for 1 second that he wasn't using his own personal device, which I'm sure is even easier to track, and that Jack Smith has everything that's on there, not necessarily recorded conversations, but who he was texting, who he was messaging, who he was talking to, you know, the phone numbers that were radiating out of the White House. I mean, they've got him two ways from Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So his only strategy is to try to push this into 2024 and beyond. And Jack Smith, they're not having any of it, and neither is the judge. And we're going to get a trial before the election next year. Now, of course, that won't change my mind. I'm still voting for Trump. But
of course, no.
Okay, yes. Of course. There's nothing going to change my mind. So I'm laying it out that way. What do you say?
It's more clear than ever that he's running for president to pardon himself and to stay out of jail, stay out of prison. I mean, that's the there's nothing he wants to do. He well, he does like power, and he does want to pay people back. Obviously, you like the Biden joke at the fundraiser. Whew, thank God it's only going to be on day one that he's a dictator. Whew, what a relief!
That wasn't a joke, Britt. That's just the truth.
I also think there's a delicious irony. There's the story from Yahoo. We just showed it on the live feed there that it's going to be some Twitter account data that also is going to do him in. I think that's very
fun. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, lovely.
That's kind of fun because they can, you know, again, just like with the text and anything else, they can find out where you were and what you were doing and which part of the White House you were in, et cetera, when things were happening on a blow-by-blow basis. And I wonder if that includes private messages, direct messages on Twitter. Well, I guess we'll find out.
You know, this whole issue of manufactured, made-up, pull-out-of-the-ass presidential immunity for everything has been addressed. And I like the way that it's been answered in so many different, really articulate ways. The Department of Justice has pointed this out, that if there was such a thing as absolute immunity for a president, and we'll use Trump as the example, the Department of Justice says that this would grant him absolute immunity from criminal prosecution. He's a president who accepts bribes in exchange for a lucrative government contract for a family member. Can't touch him on that. A president who instructs his FBI director to plant incriminating evidence on a political enemy. Can't touch him for that. He's immune. A president who orders the National Guard to murder his most prominent critics. Can't touch him for that. A president who sells nuclear secrets to a foreign adversary. Obviously, none of those things can be right. They can't be sanctionable. They can't be allowed. And they can't fall under some kind of cockamamie, made up, pulled out of thin air presidential immunity thing. You know, they didn't even have to bother with that. They could have just gone with the more widely known, could have shot someone on Fifth Avenue in front of hundreds of witnesses with cameras rolling. And he couldn't be touched for that. So do you think that this will be a 7-2 decision in a few weeks by the court to accept the case to decide? Because remember, they're not going to just decide after Trump and his lawyers next week present their fake presidential immunity argument. And we haven't had enough time to look at the evidence argument, and you're rushing us argument, not fair argument. They're not going to make a decision about, they're going to make a decision to decide. Right. One of those.
Right.
This is how government always works. We can't ever make the decision. So that I think it'll be a 7-2. I think you can count on Alito and Clarence Thomas
always
to always take Trump's side. But other than that, I think, of course, you have the three liberals.
Right.
And then you're left with John Roberts and Amy Coney Cougar Mellencamp Barrett. Right.
Kavanaugh and Gorsuch.
Brett Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. And I think you'll get a 7-2
okay.
on that one now. To take the case and move it on faster. And they're acting like the Trump side, they're acting, oh, this is so unusual.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen. And that was true. I mean, the most prominent case where this has happened was, well, I guess it was Bush v. Gore, right, in 2000.
Right.
And then in the Nixon Watergate tapes case. So that's 1974.
Right.
But here's the problem.
We get it,
suddenly, after years and decades of this not being used as, I don't want to call it a tactic, but as a request to move cases along that are considered really, really super, super important. What's happened in the last few years? That's right. The Republicans have gone to the Supreme Court. Somebody did the counting on this 19 times, and such important issues to the future of democracy and constitutional law surviving and rule of law continuing in this country so that we don't collapse, as in the case of Watergate or Bush v. Gore. They've used it 19 times in the last few years. So the Supreme Court grabs these cases and they bypass the appellate courts because, for instance, they went a few months ago because Joe Biden wanted to wipe out student debt to the tune of, what was that, $500 billion. And Republicans said, oh, we got to have a decision instantly on that. Well, okay, fine. If you're going to have a decision instantly, if you're going to define that part of the ability to move cases along down to that kind of shit, then obviously this one has to be taken. They can't turn away. They can't say, oh, send it to the appellate court. If it takes 12 months, 15 months, 16 months, they can't do it. Even this court couldn't do that with a straight face. They got to do it. They got to take the case. And he said that knowing full well that he might be wrong. But I think they will. I really think they will.
Give me the give me the fourth down and two.
Oh, story. Boy. I got to tell you something. Everybody's dropping off of Elon Musk's X, formerly Twitter, site as an advertiser. Just about everybody that matters, right?
Right. Seems to be the number one platform for spreading anti-Semitic hate across the world right now. Despite what you might hear about certain university presidents, it seems to be a place where you can go and freely espouse your Jewish hate.
He brought back the great Alex Jones over the weekend.
He did.
End of story.
That sounds like a really good way to build up your platform. But as it turns out, some people don't like that.
Right, right. So your response to major corporations running for the hills because they don't want their ads adjacent to, near, around, or in the same neighborhood as blatant hate speech at any level. Your response is to bring back Alex Jones.
Right.
Okay. Well, I guess he meant it a couple weeks ago when live on the CNBC, or as we used to call it in the 70s, CNBC. Pardon me. Just shoot me, mama. When he said, you know, fuck you to all the advertisers. Fuck them. It'll be their fault when I go out of business. Yeah.
Bob Iger specifically.
Yeah. Disney, fuck you. The NFL is in talks to renew their $100 million deal with X, as they haven't made a decision yet. This must be just agonizing there on Park Avenue where the NFL offices are. Now, you mentioned it a second ago in passing. If the problem that the college presidents painted themselves into the corner last week in front of the Congress was they complexified a simple question, which should have been yes or no. Is it ever okay to advocate genocide? Is
right.
it okay to advocate the end of Israel through violence? So it was a yes or no question, and they didn't answer it that way. I say this is just as simple for the NFL. Yeah. Do you want to renew your relationship with Elon Musk and the anti-Semitic hate speech dreck? And by the way, I would like to take full credit for the first use of the phrase right-wing sewer. now more than 10 years ago. 10 years ago coming
if only,
up.
If only you had trademarked or service marked it. If only you had just service marked that or something, you would have been set.
It certainly describes X, Twitter.
Right.
So here's the problem the NFL faces allegedly. And they did not respond to requests for comments about their partnership. And this is to CNN Business. On the one hand, you're going to die when you hear this. The NFL does not wish to alienate conservatives, for which Musk has largely become a heroic figure as he fights the supposed woke mind virus. He serves as a warrior in their cultural wars and voices support for Republican candidates. The NFL doesn't want to offend those people. Britt, this makes their really horrendous relationship with the U.S. military seem almost quaint, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, really.
Oh, my God. On the other hand, by signing a new agreement and maintaining a partnership with X, the NFL risks alienating the rest of its massive and diverse fan base, for which Musk's brand has grown increasingly toxic. And if you watch a game on TV or on the NFL, you do have this push-pull of constituencies that the commercials that run appeal to. You got a ton of hip-hop crap going on, right?
You do.
You got a lot of black stuff working there, right? You got a lot.
There.
And at the same time, you got the Ford F-150 and the macho and the beer.
Yeah, Bush Light. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to appeal to everyone, and they do, the NFL, you know, what is it? 85 of the top 100 TV shows last year were NFL games. I mean, they're broad, but they're going to make a decision here, I think, that is going to bite them in the ass. If they stick with X, if they're the only major entity out there, everybody else has left, including lots of advertisers that may advertise on NFL games. In fact, think about it. Disney itself is ABC and ESPN. So they're already tied in.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that if they have any brains, they will extricate themselves from any direct relationship.
But again, this has been the tag against the NFL for a long time. These are franchises that are run by very rich old white guys. Majority, right? They're the ones that kind of make the decision. Hang on. They preach diversity. They don't have much diversity, especially when it comes to running the show.
Britt, a lot of the owners are Jewish. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you just say white guys,
you can't really do it. But
you can't really do it.
And yet they're not really talking about leaving X so much. I feel like they'll eventually sign back on and be able to justify it.
It's interesting. It appears that the leader still of the owners in terms of speaking out on important cultural issues is still, I know, it's Robert Kraft. It's still Robert Kraft.
Yeah,
he still holds a lot of sway.
He does, but the most influential owner in the league is Jerry Jones, and old white guy.
Has he said a word here?
Of course he's not going to say anything. This is the guy that when they had the picture that came out of him in Arkansas, when those black kids were being harassed, I just went down to see what happened. I was just looking. There was nothing on TV that day. I had read all my comic books. If you fucking think a teenager in Arkansas back in those days when a black kid was getting spat at and beaten and cursed, went down there just to see what was going on, you're full of shit. So, no, he hasn't said a word, and he's all about the business. By the way, I think when you were talking about some of the advertisers, I think we can fully look at the Bud Light situation, and I think they're out of the penalty box. Now, I don't know if the sales figures have proven that, but it feels like the Bud Light boycott has waned to almost nothing now. You're seeing people just drink it willy-nilly out in society, and it's being advertised for, and I think that whole thing is over.
Well, Peyton Manning does the spot, right? He's doing the commercial for him.
There you go.
And we know all about Peyton Manning, don't we?
We do. Is David Tepper Jewish?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Raised in a Jewish family in Stanton Heights neighborhood in Pittsburgh. There you go.
Yeah. And so was Art Modell.
Art Modell. Well, he's dead. He's very dead.
No.
Extremely dead.
No. All right. We're going to do Trump circling back to NFTs.
Yeah, yeah. I love this. Yeah, this is a good story now, too.
I wanted to check before I went with this, just to make sure that what I thought I knew was correct. Most NFTs are completely worthless now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. NFT stands for non-fungible token, right?
Right.
Which still to 99.9% of Americans, they don't know what it is, even if they've been quote unquote investing.
It's something that you keep in somewhere digitally, whether it's in your Google phone or in your account or in Amazon or whatever. And it's a work of art, or it's a trading card, or it's something that's completely unique to you that nobody else on earth has.
Right. A study examining more than 73,000 NFT collections found that 95% had a market cap of zero. Nothing. Out of the top collections, the most common price for an NFT is now $5 to $100. Are NFTs dead? A recent study looking at the price of thousands of collections seems to suggest the answer is yes. Celebrities such as Stephen Curry and Snoop Dogg participated in the hype. Bitcoin was up at $70,000. Remember that?
Right.
It's not at 70,000 anymore. It's kind of made a comeback after cratering, but not back to 70,000. 79% of NFT collections remain unsold. Okay, so that brings us to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He's doubling down on his investment in digital trading cards, including this time, and this is new, it's a mugshot edition with the opportunity to get an actual physical card if you spend more than $4,600 as a sap, as a simp, as a schnook on digital ones. My last two Trump digital trading card collections sold out in just hours, and now I'm back with my latest series called the Mugshot Edition. He put up a video.
Keep reading.
On Truthless Social. I'm doing two important things for my mugshot collection. Okay. I know we've said this 100 times, 100 ways. How many times can you go to the well with the same fools?
I don't know. Right. He's really greasing the skins here. He's really sweetening the deal. Go keep reading, because this is a beautiful detail you're going to get that a lot of people are not hitting on.
For the first time, we're creating a real physical playing card. Purchase 47 digital cards. We'll mail you a beautiful trading card, an authentic piece of the suit I wore when I took that now famous mugshot.
Yes. What they do in some cases is they have like trading cards. Back in the day, Ken Griffey Jr., whoever, Shohei Ohtani, whatever, and they'll have a little piece of the guy's jersey embedded in the card. They'll have that. I myself have a piece of a WWE ring that was used at WrestleMania. In this case, it's part of Fat Ass's suit when he was booked in Atlanta.
Which, by the way, even you know it's not.
Of course. Of course it isn't. A fucking course. They went to Goodwill. They got some bum's coat, and they cut it up. Jesus, how hard is this?
And even if it was, okay, it's all cut up. You're going to get a piece of it. I'll be autographing some of them. Which ones? He'll also host those who purchase 47 cards, each of which costs $99. So that's, $4,700 for dinner at Mar-a-Lago. You know, he will be scamming people from the grave, assuming he is buried at the is she at the first hole or the 18th hole? Is his wife?
I don't know where they end up throwing her.
Is it off the first hole? The cards could provide a valuable source of income for the former president, now embroiled in four separate proceedings. No, you can't sell enough of those to pay off the lawyers. There's no way. There's no way.
Can you, I wouldn't even, if somebody would pay $4,700 for the whole set, just so they get the physical card and a piece of his suit, lock him in a rubber room, get him out of society. Good God, you people are stupid.
It just doesn't stop.
It's stunning, but you know, what was it? The old P.T. Barnum thing. There is a sucker born every minute.
We run out of minutes yet? Can we stop?
Trump loves his staff.
Yeah. This is just months after the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago to confiscate all the crap he was hiding there in plain sight, in boxes, in the bathroom. Trump kept his chummy little ties with an ex-staffer at Mar-a-Lago. In other words, I'm sure what this means is Trump promised to, quote-unquote, take care of this person financially if they'd shut their mouth. Right? It doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure this one out.
Correct.
He maintained a pattern of good rapport with various key people tied to the indictment, accusing him of criminally hoarding classified documents. Not nearly as many as Joe Biden. A nameless ex-Mar-a-Lago worker who quit received a call from Trump in August, 3 months after the feds executed the first warrant and secured evidence. The former employee was seen handling several boxes for Trump and was aware of conversations detailed in the indictment filed in July naming Trump. This is according to investigations by CNN. Trump's one-time defense attorney, John Rally, early in 23, reached out to the former employee and left a voicemail. The employee did not return it. The attorneys representing the former employee as well as Trump didn't comment on the interaction. Special counsel's office also refused to speak on the matter. So I guess in the end here, if we can do some real predicting beyond what's right in front of our nose, this election, assuming it's between Joe Biden and Donald Trump,
right,
is going to be, do you want to keep Trump out of jail or not?
Right.
That's all it is. What? Everything else is secondary. Whether the trial in March commences on time and is finished by the summer or early fall, even before the election, whether he's guilty or not guilty.
Right.
And I'm sure you've seen the latest, put the mic in the face of a moron Trump supporter in Louisiana, and they declare they're going to vote for him whether he's convicted or not. So he's got that base of support. But, Britt, we have to live off of the faith that a charged and likely convicted Donald Trump presidential candidate will not be appealing to independent voters, the couple hundred thousand that are in the states that are going to decide this election, who just, they just can't seem to make up their mind, at least publicly. Okay. We'll pretend that we believe them, but the evidence, as it's going to be laid out, and some people will be seeing it, many people will be seeing it for the first time they're hearing about it, right? Mm-hmm. Because just because you and I pay close attention. We marinate ourselves in this, although not to the full extent that some people do, but we're pretty well versed on it.
Right.
There's a good section of the country that knows nothing, none of the details. Everything that we've talked about today, for instance, would be completely foreign to them, because on Fox, all they can talk about is Joe Biden's failure to protect this country from people coming across the southern border. That's the big story. That's what they're caring about. And Joe Biden not doing anything about high prices. He's just right. doing nothing about
right.
it.
Right.
That's what they marinate themselves in. So everything we're talking about from a legal standpoint is, it's not even not in the wheelhouse. It's not in the county. It's not in the state.
Right.
That they psychologically reside in. So that's what the campaign will be about, to try to punch through and penetrate that wall. That's the wall you need to worry about, okay? Not a prospective one on the southern border. It's the wall of silence. It's the wall of ignorance. It's the wall of deliberate ignorance that's being built. He's trying to do the four corners offense here and just keep passing the ball till the clock runs out. And he thinks that that's the answer. And,
well, it's just unfortunate that his I don't know, his brand of bullshit is aptly suited to the American people somehow, some way, you know,
understatement. So,
although Nikki Haley making a huge comeback in those polls though, huh?
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's just about got him, Britt.
I love this.
She just needs a couple more billionaire guys to endorse her.
Yeah, I'm starting.
That, by the way, that Chris Sununu, that governor of New Hampshire, that's going to change everything. Chris Sununu is Nikki Haley's James Clyburn. Okay, no, he's not. No, he's not.
How dare you compare that guy to James Clyburn in any way? It's just weird because as your boy starts to look, you know, over the horizon a little bit toward retirement one day. This is a woman who has threatened and promised to kick the shit out of Social Security and Medicare. I mean, she's not. Some of the Republicans like to be a little subtle with it. She's really just out there saying she's going to kick the shit out of it.
Oh,
love it.
Right. You know, objectively, she's dreadful. But you know, you don't get the dreadful that you want when you have Godzilla over there, yeah. who's really, really dreadful.
That's true. So, but that doesn't mean
And by the way, remember, even as the president of the United States in 2025, President Nikki Haley cannot single-handedly fuck up Social Security. I mean, ask George W. Bush how that works.
Well, okay?
It doesn't quite work that way.
Yeah, that was one of the big mistakes on the reelection. That was like his right. first day after he was reelected. We're going
to
do this.
But the difference is, she's not likely to call for a coup and a ransacking of the Capitol to.
Yeah, but just because Godzilla's over there, you don't go ahead and embrace Mothra. You know, you just you don't do that. I don't think. Stephen Handler wants you to know, Brad, Corky and Lenny's closed forever. A Northern Ohio institution. I don't know if that's just the Beechwood location, or.
I saw it.
Very sad. Very sad. But you had postulated and you had really kind of said that Corky and Lenny's had gone downhill for many, many years, right? Wasn't what it used to be.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was ever. It hasn't been what it used to be for a long time. It's one of the more famous delicatessens across the country, and many of them have gone away.
There's a great documentary about that on Amazon Prime and just how the reasons for it and how Jewish folks have just assimilated into the culture in general. And then it's just so much fucking hard work to do all of this shit. Running a delicatessen and doing everything and smoking the meats and everything.
But I think there's still some other good ones in Yeah, in Cleveland, across the country. If you look hard enough, there are still some.
Correct.
None within the sound of our voice right here.
No, no. We have to drive for many, 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 many moons in order to get that.
Some driving.
All right, let's do some sports.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve.
Let's do the Shohei Ohtani thing with the Dodgers. Very curious contract.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the banner headline was $700 million.
Right.
And then we find out that he's it's a 10-year contract, $70 million a year, until you get to the fine print, which nobody saw until a few hours, maybe even the next day, that they're going to defer 68 of the $70 million annual salary past the 10-year mark and then start paying him at that point. So it only takes $2 million a year.
For 10 years.
Everybody cheats the tax man temporarily. And
is the 680 going to be a lump sum?
I doubt it. No, yeah. I'm sure they can pay that out over whatever number of years.
That would be freaking amazing. It would be amazing if that was a 680 lump sum in 10 years, right?
But because that would be like the lottery, okay?
Yeah. Yeah,
you don't ever take, if you can afford it, you shouldn't take the lump sum. But most of us, they would say, well, it's so much money, we'll take it. He's going to be making so much money from endorsements, theoretically, over these 10 years, that he can accept the $2 million. It's kind of token money, and he'll make up the difference. Here's my question. The real gamble here is his health, okay?
Right.
He's already missing next season as a pitcher. He can only hit. So you've already, if you want to look at it this way, his value just in overall terms is diminished by 1/20th, okay? Because he's a two-way player for 10 years, 2 × 10, 20. This coming year, he's only one of those two. So if he got well and then could pitch for the next 9 years after that and hit, okay, then you'd have 19 out of 20 skills being used. But he's 29, right? There's no guarantee that he's going to be the same player at 35, 36, 37, 38. A lot of players are still pretty good.
Right.
But most of them, you peak in your early 30s. In baseball, there have been some exceptions, and as fantastic as he is, he's going to be putting more wear and tear on his body as the two-way superstar that he is. I would assume that the contract pays, I guess, no matter what. If he got catastrophically injured in year three,
yeah,
he still gets all the money.
Of all the sports leagues, that's the only one that's fully guaranteed.
Yeah. He is unbelievable. He is great. The fact that he didn't end up on the Mets or some hapless piece of shit team like that. And he could have ended up on the Yankees, and he chose to stay in Southern California, Los Angeles. I guess it kind of makes sense for him. But does that raise the bar on salaries overall, or is he just such a unicorn?
I don't think it does. I don't think your middle infielder, for Kansas City is all of a sudden going to get a bump. I don't see that at all.
Well. But what about what about the best players? What about the
those guys? Yeah,
who get paid anyway? They're already making
your Aaron Judges and your those kind of guys. Yeah, I mean those guys are probably Bryce Harper signed that ridiculous contract. I remember many years ago, it wasn't one of the first ones, but it was a preposterous contract, and I think that was the one that A-Rod signed with the Rangers, and that was an outrageous $252 million deal. Which at that time was an unheard of amount of money. They couldn't believe. And of course, they didn't end up paying him all of that money. They ended up trading him away. So the Yankees would end up with most of that. And I think that was $25 million a year, something like that. over 10 years.
Yeah. Well, that was a long time ago. So, Britt, you didn't do your inflation.
Yeah, I didn't do an inflation calculator on the. Yeah. Because I care a lot about Alex Rodriguez. I just want to make sure that he got his full worth and his full value. Yeah.
He dates Trini Lopez, his girlfriend's Trini Lopez.
Trini Lopez, who I thought was a man. I don't know. Is that?
Oh, sorry. I made a mistake.
Which is fine. If Lopez. You can date a man if you want to. You can date a man if you want to. What's the David Tepper update? The owner of the Carolina Panthers being exposed as not only incompetent, but an asshole.
Sell the team. it's that simple. That's the solution. Sell the team to someone who knows their own limitations as a football person. And I know when you have that much money, you think you're an expert in every area of life. You just know more than everybody. You wouldn't have that much money if you weren't smarter than everyone else all the time.
Right.
You're definitely smarter than some NFL policy wonk who's come up through the ranks all these years. Yeah.
Well, you can be smarter.
You definitely are. So you're not going to let these people, half of whom have concussions, tell you what to do so you know more. Obviously, that's not true.
If you've heard him defend it, if you've heard him defend himself at these press conferences, Charlotte was just a little cow town with a couple of stoplights before he rolled up in there.
Right.
If you've heard him, he's literally made this argument. We brought Major League Soccer in. We did this, that, and a third. You people were wallowing in your own filth before I came to town and cleaned this place up.
So the fact that there has been NFL football for 25 plus years before he showed up and the NBA, not just once, but twice.
And some of the biggest banks in the world also, just FYI. I mean,
so, you know, it looks like Tepper's next move would be a president of a university. That'd be his next move.
It's the next one.
Where being tone deaf is part of the job description.
Here's a fun exercise. Try to figure out a way that he sells to a really ultra rich human being that you know, Jeff Bezos, and the city and the team end up worse off. Try to figure out a way for him to sell to somebody who's extremely rich. It's just not possible. You can't do it.
It can't be done. Now, there's nobody in North Carolina that has that much money that could buy the team. There's nobody that's that rich, I don't think. Even the, what's his name? Jim Goodnight.
Jim Goodnight.
Guys like that. They don't have, and they're not interested in it. They're old. So.
but they certainly have useless kids that adult children like Donald Trump does that need to be set up with an NFL franchise. Surely that's happened.
Wait a minute, Brent.
No. They're broke. They don't have money, and they're selling air with NFTs.
Carolina Panthers owner Donald Trump Jr.
That would be one of the most. They would do that. Like, he would say something like that at a rally here, just to get, and people would go, "Oh, I think he's going to do it." I think, and it has no chance of ever happening. First of all, he doesn't have the money. He does not have the money, and nobody will go in business with him to form a group to buy it. It would never happen. Well,
he already, Trump himself got rejected. He wanted to buy the Buffalo Bills. Remember that?
Yes.
He wanted to buy the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, look for that. Again, the first time that I really started hating the city of Charlotte was many years ago when they were going to build one of the Trump golf courses down there, and that city dropped their pants for Donald Trump Jr., before anybody knew who the fuck Donald Trump Jr. was. They acted as though the Queen, the Pope, Elvis, and the Beatles were coming to town. And then, which goes back to Tepper's point, maybe it is a cow town. Maybe they are. Maybe they deserve to be laid into.
nobody deserves. What are they, 1-12 now?
It's just not great.
Yeah.
Kick CJ Stroud's ass, though. How about that?
Yeah.
Suck on that. Got to live with that all winter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all he thinks about.